Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
You want to know why heaven's rejoicing? Because Satan and his demonic spirits can no longer have access up into heaven. What an awful thing it must be, even now, for Satan to go before the throne and accuse us day and night before God. What an awful thing it must be for the angels to see the demonic spirits having access up into heaven.
Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Did you ever wonder why demons were allowed in heavenly places? Well, one glorious day, when the trumpet has blasted, Satan and all his demons will be cast out of heavenly places. There will be no place found for him. Here's part two of our study in Revelation 11 and 12 with Robert Burrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Jacob had his name changed. God did it often. Jacob, which means supplanter or manipulator, that's really what his name meant. How'd you like to have that name? Hi, what's your name? Manipulator. I don't think I really want to know you at all. He had his name changed from supplanter or heel catcher or manipulator to Israel, which means ruled by God. That's what Israel is, ruled by God. And he had 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel. This is the birth of the nation of Israel, called by God to bring forth one who's going to change the world. And it says that this woman who represents Israel is with child, and in pain she gave birth. Israel has faced great pain and suffering, the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, because they brought forth the Messiah. Joel Rosenberg, many of you guys know, he's Jewish. He's written many books. He's an author. He's been here with us on several occasions. Joel Rosenberg says, he's Jewish. He says, "We are the chosen people." And he said, "What you don't know is that sometimes we say to God, 'Choose somebody else. Why'd you choose us? We've had so much suffering because you've chosen us.'" In great pain, they brought forth that child. There has been more hatred, more animosity, more violence towards the Jewish people than any other people on this earth over the entire time that they have been a nation. From the time they became a nation in Egypt until the very end. When I was in school in the 70s, I remember learning about the Holocaust. And I remember my teacher saying to me, "Never again will we allow something like this to happen." And yet today in Europe, where Jews were arrested, where they were made to wear a star of identification on their arm, where they were arrested, fed into cattle cars, taken to concentration camps, and gassed to death 6 million of them, the same place is persecuting Jewish people again. They cannot walk down the streets and in places in Europe because of the great hatred. And it's not only those in Islam that hate Israel. There's a great hatred once again for the people of Israel. It's because they're God's chosen people. God said, "I will never forget you, my people. I have carved you on the palms of my hand." And even if a woman forgets her baby, ladies, you're going to forget your baby? You walk out of the house, "Forgot something. My baby." But God says, even if they do forget, "I will never forget you, my people." And God says that he will pour out a spirit of grace and mercy on Jerusalem, and that they will weep for him as one who mourns for an only son when they look upon him who they pierced, God, whom they pierced in Jerusalem. When did they pierce God in Jerusalem? And the Bible says, and all of Israel will be saved. Yes, they face great pain. Yes, they bring forth the Messiah in labor. Yes, they have made themselves a giant target on this earth because they have brought the Messiah and the enemy wants to destroy them. But God, as we're going to see, is going to preserve the people of Israel. They're going to make it to the very end. And so, with great pain, she brings forth this child. And another sign appeared in heaven. You got a pregnant woman crying out in great pain and giving birth. That's the sign. What a vision. In your vision, you see a woman and she's pregnant. She falls down on the ground, gives birth to a baby. What a vision. And another sign appeared in heaven, a great fiery red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns. Now, the dragon we know is Satan. We're going to be told that in a moment. The seven heads and the 10 horns we'll talk about a little later on. They are world governments that the devil has worked through. We'll get that again in 14. We'll get it again in 17. So kind of put that off for a little while. The dragon is who we want to look at today, but this is the one that has seven heads and 10 horns. The seven heads are nations. The 10 horns are individuals that rule. Again, we'll catch up with it later. And it says, and seven diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. This is Satan the dragon persuading a third of the angels to fall. These are the demonic hosts. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth and devour her child as soon as he was born. Herod killed the babies in Bethlehem because he wanted to destroy the child who was born. The Pharaoh of Egypt tried to destroy all the male children of Israel because he wanted to assimilate the people of Israel into the Egyptian people. Don't you think Satan was behind that? And in the great Holocaust, the final solution of Hitler was to destroy every Jew on the earth. That was his goal. That was his final solution, to completely wipe them out. Tell me that that is not demonically induced. And she bore a male child, it says, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, and was ascended up into heaven. And so the child gave birth, did its job, and went to heaven, the Messiah. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God. God prepares a place for Israel in the wilderness that he's going to keep her, that they should feed her there 1,260 days, roughly 3.5 years. For the last 3.5 year period, the second half of the tribulation period, called the Great Tribulation period, God is going to protect the nation of Israel supernaturally. There are a group of people today, it's called replacement theology. They believe that God's not working with Israel at all. The fact that God said in the last days he was going to bring Israel back into the land, and the fact that that's happened, they say that's a coincidence. That's quite a coincidence. Never before has there been a nation lost its land and became a nation again. God said it was going to happen, and it's happened. God not only hasn't rejected the people of Israel, God will protect them in a special place during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, so the devil will not be able to destroy them. So the beginning of the trumpet that sounded tells us of this conflict that's been going on from the beginning of time. The nation of Israel, the birth of the Messiah, and the dragon trying to destroy him. Now we get to our event. Verse 7. This is the blasting of the last trumpet. And war broke out in heaven. What? War broke out in heaven? We've heard of war on earth. Have you even thought of such a thing? Have you even comprehended such a thing? A war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. Michael and Lucifer go at it with their armies. I see a red dragon with its wings and red demonic spirits fighting against the angelic spirits, and I see a great conflict in heaven that was absolutely amazing. What I love about this is it's not Jesus that defeats Satan. Satan is a great deceiver, and he wants you to think that he is the antithesis of God, that he is the opposite of God, that you have God and you have the devil, and they are the same. Woo, woo, who's going to win? God or the devil? God or the devil? But God has no opposite. How can God Almighty have an opposite? The opposite of the dragon, he don't like this, is Michael the archangel, who's been standing around in heaven saying, can I get him now? Jesus is like, not yet. How about now? Not yet. How about now? Not yet. Finally, the seventh trumpet blasts, and Michael stands back and pulls out his sword, and he says, let's go, boys. And they are off, and there's a war in heaven. It says in verse 8, there's no suspense here, by the way. It doesn't build up. It just tells us right away the outcome. But they did not prevail. The dragon and his army did not prevail, but they did not prevail, but they did not prevail. We know who wins. We have spoiler alert. This is the ultimate spoiler alert. We win in the end. We've read the back of the book. They do not prevail. They will not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. You want to know why heaven's rejoicing? Because Satan and his demonic spirits can no longer have access up into heaven. What an awful thing it must be, even now, for Satan to go before the throne and accuse us day and night before God. What an awful thing it must be for the angels to see the demonic spirits having access up into heaven. Now, I don't know why. I've heard people say they know why, but I've listened to their explanation. They don't know why. I don't know why God allows them access into heaven, but God does. It says the sons of God were numbered before God, and Lucifer was numbered among them in Job. And in other places, we speak of Satan being in heaven. But now, there's no longer a place found for him. Can you imagine why heaven's rejoicing at all? Hallelujah. Literally, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Satan's out of here. He no longer is here in heaven. The kingdoms of the world have become the kingdoms of our God. Things are being wrapped up. The trumpet has blasted, and there has been a war, and Satan is gone. So the great dragon, verse 9, was cast out. Here we're told who he is, the serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. Satan is a deceiver. Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil, the father of lies. Satan is a liar. He's a deceiver, and he's deceived the entire world. He's deceived them with false religions. Take every other religion in the world. I don't care which one it is. And they are a religion of works. You must do this in order to do that. You must do this in order to gain nirvana. You must do this in order to gain whatever. And so he has deceived the world through Hinduism. He has deceived the world through Buddhism. He has deceived the world through false religions. I've been watching, I think it's The Story of God with Morgan Freeman, right? Basically because there's nothing else on TV to watch, and I'm somewhat interested. Goes to places where there's Hindus. Talks about the beauty of Hinduism and the positive of Hinduism. Do you know that there is more hatred and destruction that comes through Hinduism than perhaps any other world religion? Because if you are reincarnated as someone who is blind, it's because you did something wicked in the lifetime before. If you're reincarnated as a lower person, they're very racist. If you're reincarnated as one of the untouchables, well, they're untouchable because they've been reincarnated that way. You're barely above a cockroach to them. And so they reject them. It's funny they don't talk about it in those shows. The world has been deceived. There's a lot of consequences that come to worshiping cattle instead of eating cattle. There's a lot of consequences that come to worshiping rats instead of killing them and driving them out. There's starvation, there is disease because of the things that they worship. Not only does Satan deceive through world religions, but Satan deceives through probably the greatest lie ever. The Bible says that in the last days, there will be a lie that man will believe. It's the lie. I think the lie is evolution. We were not created. We are just here. We have evolved. And how powerful is evolution? How strong is that machine of natural selection that it has brought us here? Look at us in all of our glory with our minds and our bodies and all that we achieve, and all of it happened by the power of natural selection. It takes more faith to believe in evolution than it takes to believe in creation. Because In evolution, it just happened. You walk out into the wilderness and you find a computer and you go, look at what natural selection did. Oh, it's an apple. You know there's a creator. You can take us in all that we are and say it just happened. That we were once a salamander that crawled out of the mud with a freckle on our head, turned into an eye. Be glad it was on your head. There is absolutely no proof for evolution. None. If you ask someone, can you give me a proof for evolution? There's supposedly 10 proofs of evolution. Look them up later on today. If you have some time sitting down in front of your computer, look up 10 proofs of evolution. Every one of them could also be proof of creation. Similarity between animals. Well, if there's one creator, there's going to be similar. One painter paints pictures that are similar to another one. And so on and so forth. What they call proof is nothing more than adaptation. God created animals, humans, with the ability to adapt to their environment. If someone from Minnesota, any of you guys here from Minnesota? You guys, I know there are. You guys come to Tucson in the wintertime, and you see us in our coats, and we're all bundled up, and you're in shorts and a t-shirt, and you're like, what's wrong with you, pansy? Yeah, well, be around here when it's 110 degrees, and we'll see how you feel. You'd be like, how can you stand this heat? It's so hot. Because you've adapted to the cold. It happens. Animals that are in the cold grow thicker furs. Animals that are in the heat have thinner furs. That has been called the mechanism of evolution. That's nothing more than God allowing animals to adapt to their environment. We can change animals by breeding them. People do it all the time. Look at horses. Look at dogs. People breed beautiful dogs. Some of you guys have those beautiful dogs. People also breed ugly dogs. Why they breed ugly dogs, who knows? Look at this ugly dog I bred. Whoa, I don't ever want to see that dog again. But you would never find that dog in nature. What you've done through genetics and through breeding would not happen naturally. If you left dogs alone now, they would go back to what they were in the beginning, because things don't go from chaos to order. They go from, is that right? Yeah, things will go, they go from order to disorder or to chaos. So there's a great lie out there, and people are believing it. And it is one of the reasons people will turn away from God in the end. And he is the deceiver, and he's deceived all of the nations. It goes on to say here, who deceives the whole world, who was cast to the earth, and the angels were cast out with them. Now that's why earth says a drag. That's why this is the final woe, because out of heaven, rejoice, onto earth, oh no. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now in heaven, right, hell of heaven celebration, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Not by pleading the blood over people. When you're demonically influenced, I don't have any power to go over you, and I plead the blood, I plead the blood, I plead the blood. It's talking about your sins have been forgiven. And if your sins have been forgiven, what can Satan do to you? His power has been broken because you have the righteousness of Christ on you. And the word of our testimony, that's how we overcome the enemy. We win people to Christ by telling our story. That's your testimony. You might say, well, I don't have an exciting story. Well, neither do I. But there's power in my testimony, and there's power in your testimony. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even till death. We aren't to love our lives until death. Some people love their lives instead of God. So afraid to die. The Bible says it's appointed once for man to die. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to hasten the day of my death. But when it's time for me to go, I'm ready to go. I just don't want it to be slow and painful. I want, my perfect death would be to look up and see GMC, boom, gone. Be my perfect death. Not loving your life until death. They didn't love their lives unto death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, rejoicing in heaven. Why? Satan ain't there no more. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and all who dwell in them, but woe, this is the final and third woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down and having great wrath because he knows that his time is short. So the earth is in its final woe because Satan comes down with his fury. He knows he's only got 3.5 years left. He realizes that he's lost. He is not able to defeat Michael. And so he comes down on this earth with great fury. Now, when the dragon saw that he had been cast to earth, verse 13, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Satan turns to Israel. When he comes down, he wants to destroy her. He's like, I might not have been able to defeat Michael, but I will wipe out these people. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle. Some people find America here. We're the eagle. Proud to be an American, or at least I know I'm free, right? I don't know whether this is America or not. I kind of would like it to be, right? I'd like it to be us, that our plan by God would be to take Israel and bring her into the wilderness and protect her. I don't know, though. Probably wishful thinking. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for time, times and a half a time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman. Daniel 9 says, and the end shall be with the flood. And Satan tries to devour the woman one last chance. She's been taken by God and protected. And now a flood comes from Satan, from the serpent, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. If you believe in Jesus before the beginning of the tribulation period, you will be kept from that hour of testing to come upon the whole earth. You will be caught up with the Lord to be with him and forever be with the Lord. And then a lot of people during the tribulation period are going to get saved. There's a great number of them in heaven, a revival. And these people, I commend them. They might not believe before the tribulation period, but there's a large number who believe afterwards. Satan, when he can't get to Israel, turns to the tribulation saint. And he wants to attack them, and many of them will lose their lives. I'd like to say at the end of this study, but don't feel sorry for them. But they do fall under the wrath of the dragon. So maybe we should feel sorry for them. But they who give the ultimate sacrifice to Jesus and take the fierceness of the dragon will receive the greatest reward of all. God will give them a great reward for what they have done in giving their lives. If by chance you're in these studies, you don't commit your life to Christ, and you find yourself in the tribulation period and you give your life to him, you know the difficult row you have to hoe. You know it's going to be tough, but God will be with you and reward you. What a picture. The greatest conflict in all of history. Heaven rejoices because the devil is cast out, but the greatest and final and worst woe, Satan comes down to this earth with great fury, and what this earth will experience during the last 3.5 years is absolutely unspeakable. Stand up with me and let's pray. Father, we are blessed by your word. We love that there is light at the end of the tunnel. We love that heaven rejoices because it's all wrapping up. It's all coming to an end. Satan has been defeated. He's been cast out, and there's rejoicing in heaven. But at the same time there's rejoicing in heaven, there's horror on earth. And Lord, we pray that we would be able to stand firm for you in our day, being lights that shine to this world because of what you have done for us and that you have let us in on the great conflict, the greatest one of all of history. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Practical Christian Living is a ministry of Calvary Chapel Tucson and is edited from Pastor Robert Furrow's weekly teachings. To hear current and past teachings, go to calvarytucson.com. If you'd like a CD copy of today's program, write to us at Practical Christian Living, 5170 South Julian Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. Please include $3 to cover postage and materials. Practical Christian Living is made possible through the generosity of donations. Thanks to your support, hearts and lives are being changed. If you would like to support this ministry, send your donation to Practical Christian Living, 5170 South Julian Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. With every donation of $25 or more, we'll send you your choice of Pastor Robert's series through 1 Timothy, Pass the Torch, available on CD, or A Fading Crown, a study through 1 Samuel, available on USB flash drive. Our address once again is Practical Christian Living, 5170 South Julian Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. We thank you for supporting this ministry. May you come to know the incredible grace and peace that can only come from Jesus.